Morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song.
Butcher, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah, yeah.
Time to start the show. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I almost said James host.
You have your James host.
Yes, yes, you have your James host here. It's nice. A Friday. It's already a Friday show. Seth over here with us.
Good morning, everyone.
Hope you all are having a great start to your Friday. Thanks for joining us to the best listeners in radio. We're going to take good care of you today. Mm-hmm. We got the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up. We'll get into that. Looking forward to celebrating Friday, Saturday, Sunday, birthdays, and anniversaries.
Of course.
We're going to make it the star of the day with our friends from Culver's coming up. Got a fun TV theme song for everybody today. Good one. And it kind of ties into our sister station a little bit, too.
Oh, it does. Nice. Yeah. All right, cool.
And before we wrap up the first hour here, we got a poll that found the way we like to be entertained the most. The way we like to be what kind of type of entertainment do we like the
what
most?
What do we like?
Speaking
juggling?
Of...
juggling? I don't know.
Yes, miming. We're all into mimes. We've got... we'll continue the conversation of entertainment with a new movie from M. Night Shyamalan in the works. Wolfgang Van Halen fighting against AI. We got a great one here that I thought would be fun leading into the weekend. Facts you might not know about a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving.
Ooh. Can't wait for that one.
What's new on your small screen, your big screen, and we got some local theater going on I want to touch on. Mm-hmm. All of that coming up. And before we wrap up the show, where in North America are you most likely to spot Bigfoot?
Jeez.
This is important discussion, Seth, and we need to discuss. We need to get into it.
You know, if anyone's ever heard you talk about Bigfoot before, I mean, they know where this is going.
Yeah, it's but, yeah, okay. We are definitely yeah. going there. And we will do that in the 10 o'clock hour. Looking forward to it. But we begin with one of the oldest games that all of us play that we know, rock, paper, scissors.
Absolutely.
Science just figured out a new hack for winning rock, paper, scissors. And it's easy to remember. The hack is, remember to forget. A team in Australia had people play 15,000 rounds of rock, paper, scissors.
That's a lot.
They did this against a computer and scanned their brains to see how they made decisions.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay.
Also, very interesting to me. And I like science. I think it's cool. And I really find a lot of these things very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else. There's nothing else these scientists could be doing. We got a lot of problems in the world, man.
I'm going to say, you know, there are studies out there that do seem on the face to be a little ridiculous. But if you dig a little deeper, you'll find out actually they're studying something it's actually more important than you think.
Yeah.
This is about decision making, which I think is that's really interesting. Brain decision making stuff is really cool.
My son works for a nonprofit in your old stomping grounds, mm-hmm. and they studied the brain and a lot of these things and do a lot of this kind of work and stuff.
Right.
And I've talked with him about it because one of the early subjects Carl and I did on the morning show was going into one of these studies that had been done. An in-depth study that was spent a lot of money on the addictions of chocolate. And we were like, chocolate's addictive. We know that. Move on? All right, big deal. But you're right. It had so much to do with what sectors it hit in the brain and certain things that. And it was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in general, they found we tend to choose rock the most, then paper, and scissors as the least common choice.
Really?
A poll this summer also found rock is the most popular pick, but scissors took second in that one. Paper was third in that one.
Yeah, I think we touched on that one because I remember us talking about mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
But the actual hack only comes into play if you tie the first round.
Oh.
They found that trying to be smart and base your next choice on what happened in the last round actually makes you less likely to win.
That actually makes a little bit of sense.
So in other words, don't worry about what each of you threw out last time.
Yeah.
Just try to as random as possible.
That's a good idea.
The rub is they found that it's really hard for our brains to ignore that data and to be truly random with it.
Boy, that is confirming of a lot of stuff we already know mm-hmm. about the brain with patterns and things like that. The brain just needs patterns. It's always constantly looking for them. And this is a great example of that.
Yeah. We, you and I, being comic book fans and things, mm-hmm. we've come across the story many times of Superman facing off against evil Superman. Right. And oh, their skill sets are matched.
Yeah, they're
and
the same.
Yeah, they know each other's moves before they even make them, right. kind of thing. And then what does the, you know, hero usually do? Well, I'm just going to be random. I'm going to do things out of place or whatever.
Right.
And it throws everything off.
Right.
And when I see those things happen in TV and stuff or movies or whatever, it's one of the more mind-boggling things to me, because the idea of how do you do anything random? The second you think of it, you've thought of it.
Exactly. So that's a great point.
To just fling your arms around. Well, I just thought about flinging my arms right. around. It's an interesting thing.
And that's one of those things that they have also, you know, some studies have shown that we actually do the thing before we think of it.
Yeah.
Which, it goes in a lot of, you know, free will and all this kind of stuff. Anything that we do that the kind of maps or, you know, tries to understand the brain just a little bit more, I think is actually good. And it's really interesting because that's something we all share in common, you know?
Yeah.
Our brain is basically, it's, you know, the same kind of tissue and all that, but we're all different. I mean, what are the differences? That's why it's so interesting to me.
I will encourage everybody, because we don't want to get in trouble with copyright laws and everything. The Simpsons did a great rock, paper, scissors thing with Homer once. It's really good.
Oh, with Homer?
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm thinking of the one that Lisa and Bart did.
That's the one I was thinking of. That's what I was thinking
good
of.
Good old rock. Nothing beats rock.
Poor Bart.
Poor stupid, simple
always
Bart.
Always chooses rock. It's so good. So this got me thinking, of course, what about world records with rock, paper, scissors?
Ooh, okay. Interesting.
Because anytime I'm seeing an opening for us to maybe get a world record, I'm going to try to look
for
it.
Just jump right through that.
Well, of course, there are a bunch of these. The world record for the largest rock, paper, scissors tournament is held. This isn't just a one-time thing. It's held in Tianjinzhou City in China.
Oh, wow.
It has about an average of 10. The last one back in 2019, or at least one of the last ones, mm-hmm. Had 10,033 people with it.
Wow.
For most pairs playing simultaneously, the record is 594, achieved in Germany back in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So 594, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the largest game, train, 857 participants formed a rock, paper, scissors train in Japan back in 2025. So in April. April of this year.
Because I got to say, it's very big in Asia. Rock, paper, scissors is huge there. I mean, you think it's big, you know. We kind of consider it more of a kids game kind of thing. But in Japan, there's like competitive leagues and stuff that they do with this. It's really interesting.
The most people online, the record for simultaneously online playing is 364 people set back in 2020, again in Japan. And to Seth's point, it doesn't take a big Googler search to find mm-hmm. this rock, paper, scissors tournament that I just found out about yesterday. I didn't even know.
It's really remarkable,
this.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. It also brings me to, I think, one of the cooler things about this, because we have, I would gather to say, 100% of people out there listening have played rock, paper, scissors.
Yes.
I feel
it's, even once, right? Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if I've ever been able to say that about anything on the air. I don't know, other than maybe breathing. I don't know if there's something that I feel very, very confident saying we've all done this. Call up if you've never played a rock, paper, scissors.
That would be fascinating. Why are you like anti rock paper? Maybe you are. Maybe you're just that's the hill you're going to die on.
So another thing that you probably have picked up on that I like to do, if you've listened to this show over the last 9 years or whatever, is find these things that bring us closer together, that take away mm-hmm. divisiveness and tie us together. And whether you grew up in the projects or you grew up in the country, mm-hmm. wherever you grew up, you played rock, paper, scissors.
Yep.
We've all done this.
It's one of the great ways to decide things. We all do this, of course. This is the other thing that I think everyone's done. You'd say, okay, this is the restaurant we're going to go to. You know, we'll decide by doing rock, paper, scissors. You do the thing. The loser always say best 2 out of 3.
Yes,
always.
You have to.
You have to do it. I think it's part of. I think it's in the law. Actually,
you have to say that after you lose.
It's
somewhere at the end of the Bill of Rights, I believe. You can go ahead and double check, everybody. But it's also, It's also like, for some reason, Benjamin Franklin was really adamant about that.
He was very, really, he was not going to keep that in there.
He lost the turkey thing, so he was not going to lose out on this.
No.
When it comes to this as well, those that don't know, and I think it was a little bit of a learning thing for me too over the last 24 hours, I figured, okay, people might play this in some other countries. Everything I could find, literally every continent celebrates or has does rock, paper,
something
scissors.
Like it. Yes.
And it's not and it's the same game. It's the same game all around the world. Mm-hmm. We all play this game.
Yep.
There might be some little differences here and there, but mm-hmm. for the most part, it just shows us how much we are all connected, how much we all have in common. We have more in common than not.
If you were to go to some place, you know, you don't know the language or anything like that, you started doing that, people would probably know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is really... The idea of having something that's that universal is so cool. That is just really neat.
And I'm hard pressed to think of anything like that. Like really? Anything. Like they're, especially when it comes to games.
Yeah.
Game which are not universal usually.
No, they're very specific to the culture they came up in, right?
And just how cool is that? I will never look at rock, paper, scissors the same.
No.
That it's this thing that could bring us all together. Also, I would not be surprised if it showed up in the Olympics. I would not be surprised.
I have watched some Japanese competitions. I was talking before in tense.
Yes. Yeah.
Intense, man. The suspense right before they start doing it is like, and they do it really quick, you know, boom, 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 boom. Check it out. Look up a video. It's really interesting.
I mean, we made table tennis an Olympic sport. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that, you know, they tried break dancing. I mean, go ahead and give it a try. I don't know.
Inching closer to tiddlywinks, though. Yes, I'm getting very afraid.
I love the idea of an Olympic sport that literally anybody could play. Right. And you could have people that you would never think of as a, quote, athlete competing for a gold medal.
So on board with that.
I want more of that.
Me too.
We've got a lot of Olympic athletes. Athletes that look like Adonises and everything. I want more bowler Olympic athletes.
Yeah, we want more curling. Yeah, curling athletes for Olympics.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, definitely. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's Seth and James taking you through your morning at WFHR.
Well, my little baby isn't the kind that fools. Come on, baby, let the good times roll.
You heard Jimmy. Time to let them good times roll into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club, one of our favorite parts of the day. We get to celebrate you and talk about our great friends at El Cafe. Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Buy local, support local, support those that support our community.
That's
everybody.
Right.
Head on over there and enjoy. Keep in mind, of course, they got their getting more and more famous Friday Fish Fry going on tonight. Be sure to make plans for that.
It's just called the famous Friday Fish Fry.
Yeah,
and
really
people should. Will, wow, it's famous? Oh, I should go check it out. Yeah.
Got some great stuff just waiting for you over at El Cafe. Head on over there and wish them a good morning from all of us.
Yeah,
everybody.
Exactly.
And get us those birthdays and anniversaries we can celebrate with you. Mm-hmm. Email us info@WFHR.com, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and call on up
715-424-2600 to wish someone a happy birthday live on the air, or give us other birthdays. We like that too.
Looking forward to talking with you, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, I need a one or a two.
One.
And give me another one or two.
One.
All right. There we go.
Be a randomness.
Yeah. And one more one or two.
One.
Nice.
The trifecta. I had to do it.
We dive right into the celebrating. And first up, want to wish a very happy birthday to Marissa Lund.
Happy birthday, Marissa.
Marissa is one of my oldest and closest friends.
Very nice.
I don't have a whole lot of those, but she is definitely one
That's
of them.
That's right.
Known her for a very long time. Mm-hmm. One of the more intelligent people I've ever met, funny people I've ever met, and does a lot of good. She just got back a little while ago, about a year or two ago, from being in Alabama for a long time doing sports medicine.
Yeah, that's
there.
Very cool.
She's got quite the brain on her, but don't tell her I told her that.
No.
Said that, because they never let me hear the end of it. Enjoy your day, Marissa. Hope it's a good one for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
And we wish a very happy birthday to Kathy O'Reilly.
Kathy, happy birthday.
Kathy's our qualifier for
very
today.
Very nice.
Kathy, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. We don't get a lot of O'Reilly's. We don't get a lot of those. I like that.
Not around here. There's not a lot of them. O'Reilly's.
For an Italian, I love saying Irish names.
I mean, there's something about it.
That or a Scottish accent gets me every time. Every time. I don't know what it is. But
I don't know me either.
Irish is close, but it's Scottish-Irish for me.
It's a little more flowing, the Irish. The Scottish is a little more staccato. Yeah,
they're amazing, amazing accents. We take a look at Saturday birthdays, where we wish a very happy birthday to Travis Plowman.
Happy birthday, Travis.
Travis used to record video here at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
Oh, wow.
Travis is a great guy, good guy. Very we wish him a good birthday. Mm-hmm. And our qualifier for Saturday, Nancy Cook.
Nancy, happy birthday. Congratulations to you.
Wishing you the best of days, Nancy. Mm-hmm. Now, we do want to put in the spotlight on Saturday, Nancy, along with some of our civic media family. Tammy Easterling is celebrating a birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Tammy.
Lou Rogney is celebrating a birthday.
Oh, Lou. If you listen on Sunday mornings, you listen to Mr. Lou. Yep.
Our good friend Rocker is celebrating a birthday.
Rocker from Max Inc. Radio. Yeah.
Does great stuff over there. And, of course, the legend, and I'm not saying that jokingly, I mean it, the legend, Randy Paul.
Randy Paul, happy birthday to you, Randy.
For decades, Randy has been on these airwaves bringing you high school sports, some of your favorite high school moments. Randy has on the call. I have mentioned to him, it was actually one of our early conversations when we started working together more and everything. Like, hey, man, you're my favorite voice to listen to. It's like you and Kevin Harlan. I just really enjoy Randy. And I think, you know, Randy might think sometimes that I'm just being nice. I don't, especially when it comes to this business. I only say things I could back up, and he genuinely is. And I say that because not only is Randy, we know Randy teaches at Assumption.
Yep.
We know Randy loves Assumption sports. Mm-hmm. But when I'm listening to Randy call a game, he has the perfect balance of, yes, he's the home announcer, but he's calling it just as straight up for the other team.
He is.
And just as excited for the other kids and stuff. And I've seen him do this in person and know how much these games mean to him. I know how much this business, this station means to him and everything he's done. For those that may not know the details of these things, we're not able to pay our announcers much.
Not really.
And when they're doing this stuff, they're doing it for the love of the game.
They are, 100%.
Randy's been doing that for like 2 decades.
Yes.
At least. And he's dang good at it. He's really good at it.
He's so fantastic. As someone who's gotten to listen to him a lot, over the last couple of years, helping broadcast games and everything. You're so right. I do want to point out, though, that Randy is one of the genuinely nicest people on this planet.
Yeah.
You will never walk away from a conversation with Randy Paul and not feel good.
Yeah.
It's a terrible thing to say is about your nice person, but it's so true. It's so natural, sincere from him. It's just who he is, and it's great. Anytime you're talking to Randy, you know you're talking to a good guy.
Some of the some of the best people you really say that about, you really can genuinely back it up. Yes. You really feel it. Appreciate you, Randy.
We do.
Enjoy your day, sir. Enjoy your day. And Sunday we wrap up with one wish happy birthday to Kate Nordstrom.
Happy birthday, Kate.
Kate, an old, actually one of my, knew her at Washington and at East and at Lincoln. Kate and I, back at Washington, were two of the people that like really were into entertaining. You know, me with my craziness about acting and all that. Kate was a ballerina and really into dance. And
that's cool.
Just became kind of friends because of that. Mm-hmm. And just a really interesting, great person.
Very
cool. Enjoy your day, Kate.
Yes.
And on Sunday, our qualifier, Jim Henry.
Happy birthday, Jim.
That is one of the better names I have said on the airwaves.
Man,
Jim
with
Henry.
Two first names, James Henry or Jim Henry. Yeah.
Feels like there should be an old folk song after.
Well, it's just off a little
Jim
bit.
Jim Henry came down. It's just a good name. Good name, sir.
He can change the lyrics to John Henry. He's fine. Yeah, you can do that. Just put Jim in there. You're good.
We take a look at who you share your birthdays and anniversaries with on our list for today. Josh Dummel is 53. Colonel William in Transformers movies. He was in Call of Duty, Jupiter's Legacy. Good actor.
Proud new North Dakotan.
Yeah.
Lives. He's got a ranch up near Minot, if I remember correctly. And so when we lived out there, he was part of a big tourism campaign that they were doing. He was in all their ads and stuff, which was kind of cool. I like that.
I feel bad because early in their careers, I would mix him and Timothy Olympiad up. And I don't know why.
They look a little similar, but not
not enough to be
Maybe it's the way they carry themselves. Yeah. I don't know.
Travis Barker is 50 and very happy to be. That plane crash, what was that, 15, 17 years ago and stuff that he almost did.
He's lucky.
He's a good drummer. Good yes. drummer.
Wait, I got a really shout out. Before he was the Blink 182 drummer, he was in a fun little band called the Aquabats.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was the drummer for them. So shout out to the Aquabats.
Good shout out. Reverend Run from Run DMC is 61.
Wow.
Not a lot of hip hop artists going, you know, or artists in general going to ministry and stuff.
Right.
And do that and then are also able to keep their street cred or their cred with their audience or anything. He's done it his whole career.
He has. It's really interesting. And it's funny that some of those early rappers did, like MC Hammer is. He's a ordained pastor Snoop. Now too.
Snoop did. Yes. Snoop. Lost in a lot of the legacy of Run DMC is the beats.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was grabbing Aerosmith guitar lick and putting it into, you know, death-defying right. beats? There was not a lot of people doing the things that Reverend Run was doing. He is such a architect of so much of DJing and where it would go.
Right. If you want to call like Grandmaster Flash mm-hmm. or the Sugar Hill Gang as like the very first, you know, hip hop had been around for a while, but they were the first, you know, commercial releases.
Yeah.
Then you got to call Run DMC as the first time it hit the national consciousness where it went kind of pop, right? This is where hip hop went pop. And they deserve so much of the credit for that.
Yeah, way before Hammer or any of those acts, before any of those guys was getting hits on the radio airwaves where you had to play Walk This Way or something like that. Patrick Warburton is 61. One of the better voices you're going to hear. Lenny Snicket on Netflix's show, Lenny series of Unfortunate Events. Of course, Putty on Seinfeld. Does a lot of great voiceover work throughout his career. Most famously, Peter's Joe on Family Guy.
Family Guy, right.
Peter's friend, Joe. Yep. But I think the criminally underrated The Tick TV show is where I want to just wrap up with Patrick Warburton.
We probably say this every year during his birthday. Yep. You were right. That was one of the funniest, weirdest shows they ever put on network television in like the late 90s, early 2000s.
It didn't last
very long, but man, was it funny.
That's good. Condoleezza Rice is 71, former Secretary of State, and also a very talented musician.
A concert pianist, yes.
And
she's amazing, a piano player.
Not a bad actor. Not a bad actor. She had a guest spot on 30 Rock that was really good. She did a great job.
I didn't realize that.
She impressed me. She was very good.
Very nice.
Yanni is 71.
Oh, wow.
Just big time artist.
Big time hair, Yanni.
Big time art. Big time mustache.
Big time mustache. That's an impressive stash.
Very talented artist. Yes. Very talented. James Young is 76, guitarist in Styx. One of the lead writers for Styx as well.
Okay.
Let's see here. King Charles III is 77.
Okay. Wow. Right.
Taking a look at Saturday birthdays. Just a quick rundown of Saturday and Sunday birthdays. On Saturday, Chad Kroeger is 51, Nickelback lead singer.
He does that a lot.
Kevin Eubanks is 68. Jay Leno's former band leader on the Tonight Show. He was good. He did a good job.
Very good guitarist. Some of his jazz stuff is really good.
Another one of my favorite voices, Beverly D'Angelo, is 74 tomorrow.
Yes.
Chevy Chase's wife, Ellen, in the Griswold. Ellen Griswold in the
vacation movies. Yep.
But so many other great roles over the years.
Yep. And a fantastic singer, too. Wow. She is good.
There have been a lot of great attorneys in TV history, and we all have our favorites out there, and there are no wrong answers. Mine happens to be Jack McCoy. Sam Waterston is 85 Saturday. Jack McCoy on Law and Order. I literally, if I have to go to court, I'm trying to get 85-year-old Sam Waterston to be my attorney.
He's like, "What are you doing, man? I'm an actor.
I'm not an actual attorney. Like, I don't care. I still want it. Like, I'm going to lose anyway, man.
I love Sam Waterston. I'm going to have to say, though, he's my favorite TV prosecutor. My favorite TV defense attorney has got to be Raymond Burr.
I like it.
Perry Mason.
Perry. I grew up on Perry Mason. Well, watching it with my Nana and everything. Yep. Love underrated TV show, Perry Mason.
It was good.
Good show.
Yep.
Lost once. You know, like people, one of the best episodes of TV ever. Nobody saw it coming.
I'm watching, lost to Hamilton Burger,
I'm watching reruns of this show like 20 years later or whatever. whatever, and still sitting there just shocked as a little kid watching it and everything. I'll never forget that episode.
Probably called it like Mason loses the case or something like that. Yeah. It's like in the title.
It's still surprising.
Yeah.
Some people no longer with us that would have celebrated birthdays on Saturday. One of my favorite actors of all time, Ed Asner, born in 1929. Of course, the Mary Tyler Moore Show and Lou Grant. But
600 credits. I mean, that man was in so much. TV shows, movies, you name it, he was in it.
I love when we can mention an actor and every generation is going to have a different image pop up of them.
Yep.
For certain people out there, certainly the Mary Tyler Moore Show is the first thing that pops up. Probably him angry, yelling, something yes. like that.
Yep.
Then to a whole other generation, it's, Elf, Santa. Yep.
Santa and Elf, yes.
And this sweet, kind, almost a little bit of a little bit of a rougher edge Santa, but still Santa as we've come to know and love him. Or how about even a generation after that, knowing him as the voice of Carl in Up?
I mean,
many actors? I'm guessing it's maybe literally a handful of actors that have almost five generations worth of like reference.
People who know. I mean, he had a truly remarkable career. He did everything. He did comedy, drama. I mean, you name it.
And you never heard a bad thing about him.
Nope.
You never
one
heard
of the nicest guys, too.
People loved working with that guy. I love Ed Asner. Great one. And the Macho Man would have been celebrating a birthday.
Randy
Macho Man Savage. Judge Wapner also would have been celebrating a birthday on Saturday.
Wow.
A lot of birthdays.
Nice.
And a quick rundown of Sunday birthdays. Pete Davidson is 32. I like Pete Davidson. I'm a fan. Maggie Gyllenhaal is 48.
Wow.
Great actor. Great one.
48. She's our age. I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah. Dwight Gooden is 61.
Ah, Dr. K.
Oh, man. Fun
in
time.
In his prime, man, he was no one could touch him. I don't care. Roger Clemens was around the same time. But at his best, I think Gooden was a little bit better.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Yeah. I've gotten into that debate with many people, and especially when I was a kid.
Those first couple of years he was in the league were just amazing.
In his prime, at his best, I'd take Dwight over any 80s pitcher. Almost any. Oh, I should say.
Close.
I'm a huge Nolan Ryan guy. Yeah. I'm a big Nolan
Ryan guy.
It's
a debate.
Yeah, I got very way too bold on that one. I'm like,
wait.
Ooh, Nolan. And Burgess Meredith would have been celebrating a birthday on Sunday. Mickey in the Rocky movies, of course. The Penguin in Batman. But many, many people, of course, remember him as Grandpa in Grumpy Old Men.
That was his most recent famous role.
Yeah.
He was in Mice and Men in 1939.
It's probably his greatest work.
Probably his greatest work. But again, he's like Ed Asner, generational. He was in the business for so long and he was so busy.
Yeah.
He was on TV shows. He was in some great episodes of The Twilight Zone, for crying out loud. I mean, he was just everywhere.
Forgot about The Twilight Zone.
Yes.
There are like Smokey and the Bandit. There's a lot of great outtakes in human history. There may not be any better outtakes than the outtakes from Grumpy Old Men.
I mean, all him just doing his thing.
Just him. Just riffing.
Yes.
It's not even, nothing's written for him. He's just riffing
just
out there. And poor Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon cannot keep it together. Two of the greatest actors you've ever seen. And Burgess Meredith is just like, take, next take, because of this guy.
Awesome.
It's great stuff. We'll come back and we'll get you some free Culvers with our star of the day coming up. Lights, camera, action. It is time to make somebody a star of the day with our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Culvers. What Seth and I are about to do is play a very famous TV theme song. If you know it, you haven't won anything in 30 days. Boom, just like that. Call up 715-424-2600. You can also call us through the Civic Media app and win yourself a kids' meal and adult meal from our friends at Culvers. And Seth, I'm calling an audible. I'm throwing two River King tickets in there.
Hey!
I'm throwing some River King tickets.
That's awesomeness.
Got to do it.
Because we need to go to see the River Kings when they're back in town, because they are having an amazing season so far.
Dinner and a show.
Dinner and a show.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. Nice.
That's not a many better shows than some hockey.
Very cool, yeah.
Oh, God, if you haven't seen hockey live, people, take it in live. Be sure to follow our boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river at riverkingshockey.com. And, of course, support our local Culvers. Wherever you got a Culvers, you got a local business putting into their community.
You do.
All right. I have dragged it out long enough.
Let's do it.
Get ready to call up 715-424-2600. Tell us what TV theme song this is.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
There we go. Right.
This is my favorite part of it. Let's see if we have ourselves a winner. Good morning. What's your answer?
The Dukes of Hazzard.
Yes. You know it. You know it. Yes. Yes.
Good old Waylon Jennings right there.
Yep.
Sir, were you a fan of the show?
Yes. Yeah. I watched it all the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's
one of my favorite shows when I was a kid. I remember
absolutely.
That. Yeah.
Loved it as a kid. Loved it. Boss the car, Hog.
Man, it was the car. I love seeing the car jump. That was about it. I didn't understand the rest of it.
I don't know. I don't remember anything outside of the car jump.
Right. That was it.
I did remember watching the intro mm-hmm. a little bit this morning. There were a couple of things that I remembered a little bit here and there. It's actually a lot. I remember it being a lot funnier. I didn't remember how funny it was. It's
yeah,
a funny
good,
show.
Good humor to
it's
it.
It's a good
too.
One.
Yep.
Thanks so much for listening and playing along, sir. What's your first name?
Paul.
Paul?
Yeah.
All right, Paul.
All right, Paul.
Thanks a lot for listening and playing mm-hmm. along, Paul. What town are you calling us from?
Stevens Point.
All right. Got ourselves a point
wow.
winner. All right.
Haven't awesome.
Had a point winner in a while. Very
yeah, it's
cool.
It's been a while. Cool.
Well, Paul, hang on the line. Going to get a little information from you off air, but you're our newest star of the day. Thanks. Appreciate you, Paul.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I had to do this one because the theme song for Dukes of Hazzard, titled Theme from the Dukes of Hazzard, Good Old Boys,
yep.
hit number one on the Billboard Hot Country Singles charts on November 1st, 1980. So I had to get that one in, mm-hmm. Celebrating November and celebrating one of the more classic TV theme songs there is.
And you had to remember, like James said, Waylon Jennings did the theme. He was also the narrator of
yes.
the show, which was really cool.
My dad believes that that's part of why I'm a big Waylon fan.
That could be. Hey, nothing wrong with that. However you find these guys, right?
One of my favorite artists of all time. Yeah. And I never really thought much about it until he said that. Because I'm like, oh, maybe. I don't know.
That's right.
The Dukes of Hazzard first aired January 26, 1979 on CBS. It mm-hmm. ran till February of 1985. It had a good run.
That's not a bad run. 6-year run. Very good. We were watching the opening there when you're playing the theme song.
Yes.
It's Tom Wopat sliding across the hood. That was him doing it.
Yeah.
I wonder how many takes it took for him to do it without looking like he was like falling over or something
and,
like that.
Like, contrary to, but he was very adamant about this. They didn't put anything special on the hood or nothing like that. They just did it. This was, yeah.
He looks very natural doing it,
he
too. I got to give him credit.
He could slide.
He could slide. The man could slide across the hood.
We'll come back. A couple of good old boys will come on back and wrap things up with the hour up with what is the way we live entertainment? What kind of entertainment
best, yeah.
the most? Coming up. And be listening next Friday for another edition of Star of the Day. Gotta let that guitar play a little. Seth and James hanging out with you on the morning show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Want to send a big shout out to Paul in Point, winning our Star of the Day. And a great reference by Paul, a shame on me, Cooter. Didn't mention Cooter.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe I didn't mention Cooter. Thank you for that, Paul.
Roscoe P. Coltrane.
It's a great name.
James Best. He was good at that. Yeah.
Great show.
Yep.
I'm a little surprised, and I'm afraid to put this into the universe. They haven't remade it.
I know.
I'm a little surprised by that, actually, when I think about it.
So much of its time.
Yeah.
You know? And I know. And they tried the movie. Didn't really work that well.
Yeah.
So
I never saw the movie. I never saw that.
And that's fine. I don't think that's one that, you know, pure. It can exist when it existed. We don't need to remake that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun show, though. Fun
it
show.
Was. Very silly, but fun.
And a way we like to be entertained. TV, of course. We love our TV. It's there for us. And there's other ways of entertainment, of course. Our phone's ringing off the hook whenever we get free, you know, different notifications about different live events. And
right,
that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And free concert tickets can be one of those things. Well, this is why. Live Nation released the results of a big poll this week that found that live music is the world's favorite way to be entertained.
And from Live Nation.
Right, exactly. Keep that, you know, read between the lines a little bit. But I do think it's an interesting poll when you consider it's a world poll.
Right.
It's not just in the States or in one other country.
Right.
It's around the world. Mm-hmm. And that part is kind of interesting.
Right.
People were asked why they'd choose what they'd choose if they could only experience one type of entertainment the rest of their lives.
Okay.
Choices included movies, live sports, live music, and they could only pick one. 39% chose live music.
Okay.
It got twice as many votes as movies in second place.
Wow.
70% even said that they'd rather go see their favorite artists than, have the night of their life, if you will.
Oh, wow.
93% of music fans prefer live experiences over virtual ones. So that's a really nice
that
number to
sense.
See still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And 80% would rather spend their money on experiences than on other stuff, other stuff.
Yeah, we've been seeing that a lot.
Way more.
A lot more of that, yeah.
I actually think that's low considering the people that we talk to and most of the surveys we do and everything nowadays. Almost everything comes back to, is it an experience? Will I create memories doing it?
Right. And that's, I mean, I haven't been to a ton of live concerts, but the ones I have been to, it's always an experience.
Yeah.
Because, every performance is different from the artist. You know, you get to see little things that you wouldn't otherwise. And being in the crowd, there's just something about that energy. It's a whole different experience. Absolutely.
I've been to so many shows and I've been to festivals. I've been to one-off shows. Mm-hmm. I've been to shows where there's only two acts, all of this. And you're so right about that, man. I think of just even state fairs, you know, and emceeing and seeing Cheap Trick or something like that.
Right.
And how much that was its own event and its own thing.
Right.
I saw Radiohead in California and it was I got there a little late. And I don't know who the opening act was or anything like that. But it was like a literal circus. It really was.
Wow.
And it was just the guys up there with their instruments, but it felt like a circus. It's literally the only comp I have to it. I have no other like musical experience to reference it to other than it being a circus. And then I've seen a lot of stripped down shows where it's just them and an acoustic guitar up there and everything. And even that is an experience, its own kind of like
exactly
different event of different stuff going on, let alone festivals and all that.
Right.
If you just ask me off the top of my head, I could only have one of these experiences, I'm probably going to say movies. Like I'm an actor. That's what that's my wheelhouse. That's what I do. But I think I'd be wrong. I think I'd be mad at myself
for saying that. How dare you say that, self?
Because I think this the overall what they're saying here. I think I might agree with it. Live music is kind of that. It's so rare to each event. You could have an artist that's been around six decades doing this one particular song every decade, every show they've ever done, and every version's different.
Exactly.
And that I love the non-repeatability of that.
Right. The moment
and unpredictability.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And that's like theater. I mean, we being theater people, you know, we it's very similar to that. The fact that a movie is only one-sided. It's you're still with a crowd and you can have moments with the crowd where you're sharing, you know, certain emotions and that kind of thing. But when the crowd and the performer is live, that's just something special.
That's a really good point. Right. That's a really good point. So where would you land on this one, everybody? You got to choose only one entertainment experience the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You pick in live music, you pick in live sports, movies. What are you going to pick? They didn't give you a ton of options either.
No, they really didn't.
Really
wanted to make sure that live music came on top.
I say this, and I mentioned the movies part of it and everything, but everything I said about music, I feel like you can make almost the same argument about sports. And the idea now with music, if I'm only going to get to experience live music, it can't just be one style of music or one band.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the intriguing parts of it. I want to be able to experience all music, all different types, whatever I'm in the mood for. I want to hear some Chris Stapleton. I want to hear this. You know, whatever it is. The same thing when it comes to live sports. I want to watch football. I want to watch basketball. I want to watch, you know, whatever it is.
Right. The sports are a little different in my opinion, even though because it's a live thing. You know, that sort of thing. But and the crowd, you know, being part of the crowd is always an interesting experience. But in a lot of sports, you're so far away from the action when you're on. If you do a stadium show, I get it. If you're going to see George Strait and you're at a huge stadium, then, you're pretty far away. But go to a club, see a band, you know, that's just on stage. You got, you know, a couple hundred people there. And it's amazing. It's an amazing experience.
That's a good point. Another good point, man. It feels like you've thought about this.
I haven't really. No, I'm just saying this, not just now, but yeah.
But it does seem like it, doesn't it? We want to know what you think. Everybody, feel free to reach out to us. Call 715-424-2600 or text us through the Civ Media app like Laura did. Laura, obviously agree with the popular choice here, live music hands down.
Sure.
I would never pretend to speak or for Laura or anything like that. If I had to, that is exactly exactly where I would have put her vote.
Yeah, me too. I would have been. I probably would have done the same thing.
I think you get around Laura a little bit. You hear her how much she loves music, how much she loves live music, and again, experience. But, you know, when you hear her talk about different moments or anything, it's usually tied to an experience that she has.
Where do your best stories come from?
Yeah, yeah.
You get some of your best stories. I was at this concert. You know what happened? You know, this crazy guy was there, or whatever. You know, it's one of those things. Yes,
it's interesting because I remember just as much crazy things happening as I do. Oh, this band played this song, and I didn't think they would, or something like that. And so much of those moments, even if the band is doing an amazing job and it's a song I never thought they'd play, or something like that, it's also about the atmosphere.
Everyone
that was happening
around you,
around
that's
you
right.
And stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't, you know, while you hit on a really good point about movies and everything, mm-hmm. I think another part of that that stands out to me too is it's music is so personal.
Yes.
Movies, there's almost, no matter how good it's done, the greatest movie you've ever seen, the movie that's pulled you in more than any other movie in history, you still know it's a movie. You're still, in the back of your mind, there's still that buffer, which is part of the reason why I talk so highly of good acting and directing and writing, because they're that good that they can break through that.
Right.
To where you can get you as close as humanly possible
exactly.
to it. That's so difficult to do.
Yep.
And I think with music, it's almost a... you're almost playing with an ace up your sleeve when it comes to that, because music, you may like only one song by this artist, but when they play that one song,
you're there. You're totally in it. Yep. You're absolutely right.
And I think that we're, you know, movies, we've talked about this before too. We're losing more and more opportunities for strangers sitting next to strangers and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoy that in society. I enjoy that about life. Movies do bring that to us, but less and less people are going to the movies.
Right, right. And people still love going to shows. And there's a way, and I'm not just talking about like, you know, you're drinking alcohol or you're having, you know, drugs or something the show, which happens a lot. Yeah. But it's the idea that your inhibitions are released a little bit. You can do things at a concert you wouldn't do in normal life, you know, like scream out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Just
yeah.
even something as simple as like, woo, you know, throwing your arms up in the air. You don't do that. Right? In normal your everyday life.
I guess unless you're seeing the Minecraft movie in the theater, a Rocky Horror or something, you're 100% right about this. There, in the movies, you're almost not allowed to get too excited.
Right, but right. There's a distance there.
Be
quiet.
Yeah. This, you never hear that at a concert. You never.
No, I want everyone to calm down.
Yeah.
They would just scream louder. You know what they do.
And back to the strangers part of it and everything, where at a movie, we may be laughing with strangers, but we're not really even looking at them.
We're still looking at the screen
and everything. How many times have you been in the concert and you're standing next to a stranger and getting excited? Oh my God, I can't believe they're going to play this or something. I would say almost every show I've ever been to, that's happened to me.
Right. And the other thing is the audience is people who are all there for the same reason. You go to a movie, some people might be like, what is this junk? You know, they don't like the movie. It's like they thought they'd like it, but they don't. Everyone usually is at a concert because they like the act. And that's it. It's a shared thing, right? And then just what you were saying, you know, like, hey, they're doing the song. You know, someone you've never met before, you probably never see again.
Yeah.
But at that moment, you know, you're both there for the same reason and you're real excited and you can share it with them, which is something that's very unusual in our life.
So much that's so true that we almost can tell when you could have 1,000 people in a room and the one or two people that don't want to be there and you can tell.
You can
tell they don't want to be there. Like, you can never
guy in the back looking at his watch, you know. Yeah. Right?
You can never tell at a movie. You would never know who wants to be there or who doesn't or anything when you're walking.
Unless someone literally walks out of the movie. That's the only way you would know.
But at a concert, there's always almost somebody there. They got dragged to the concert or something like that. That has no idea of the bands, and you almost run into that person too. Here's another tough one, everybody. If as a society we have to vote and we can only have live music or movies, this is the silliest thing for me to say, given my profession, given I am a Screen Actor Guild member, but I think music. I would have no job.
Yeah, but right. Hey, you know, it would. You'd find a way. You find a way to do something. Yeah, I was going to say you'd be a roadie.
I could be
a roadie.
Yeah. I think I could do that. I think I've actually done that a little bit locally. I've never like traveled and everything. I think we went to Adams once and everything. But
big trip.
I was a roadie for Jeff a little bit with KGB. I think KGB experience. I think it was them that we. Or nice. Maybe it was the Lizards. I might have helped the Lizards set up once too.
There you go.
Yeah. So I've local sort of legends. Done a little of that. But I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I do know about this, though. Giving thanks. Giving back. Thanksgiving food drive that is happening with our friends at Tri-City Services. Help share the warmth this season. They're collecting non-perishable food items to help local families enjoy a comfortable Thanksgiving meal. They're going to wrap this up on November 25th. You can drop things off over at their stomping grounds at 321 4th Avenue North, right here in Rapids. They are open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 4:30. If you're looking for suggestions, canned vegetables go a long way. Mm-hmm. Stuffing mix, instant potatoes, pasta, rice, cake mix, frosting, rigatone. No, that's my family.
Any kind of pasta, right? Works.
Any kind of pasta. Items donated to Focus Food Pantry. Every can counts. For every item donated, Tri-City Services will donate $1 to the Focus Food Pantry.
Which is very nice. Very good.
Above and beyond of them.
Real quick, I want to get a shout out to everyone in the community. I do know that Focus had record-breaking stuff given to them and fundraising over the last month. And that's amazing. I mean, that just shows you people around here.
We have to note these things.
We do.
Especially in a community like ours where we've got so many amazing people out there. We step up when our government or other things don't.
When they fail,
when they step back, we step up. And that's an impressive to see.
Exactly.
Tri-City Services, you can find out more by going to calltricity.com. Be sure to support local and support those that support our community, everybody. Yeah. All your heating, AC, plumbing needs, head on over to Tri-City Services and wish them a good day from all of us around here. And again, keep in mind their Thanksgiving food drive is going on to the 25th. You can drop off items over at 321 4th Avenue North, right here in Wisconsin Rapids, our old stomping grounds, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Our old stomping grounds. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun right here on The Morning Show.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.